नायिकाः अर्हं नित्यत जैनशासनरताः कर्मेति मीमांसकाः सोऽयं नो विदधातु वाञ्छितफलम् त्रैलोक्यनाथो हरिः। ॐ शान्तिः शान्तिः शान्तिः। We pray that the Supreme Lord of the universe, the remover of all evil, whom the devotees of Shiva worship as Shiva, the Vedantins worship as Brahman, the Buddhists as Buddha, the followers of the Nyaya philosophy, who are well versed in logic as the agent, those devoted to the Jaina doctrines as Arhat, and the ritualists of the Mimamsa school as Kanman, and other people of other faiths in their own way, we are all worshipping the same universal being, supreme being. May he grant us our spiritual aspirations. Om peace. May there be peace in our hearts. May there be peace and harmony amongst all beings, and may there be peace everywhere in the whole of nature. Good morning. Today, Swami Chid Brahmanandaji was supposed to speak on the topic Wisdom Perspectives, but as many of you know, his father became sick and he had to be hospitalized here, the father. So just about half hour ago, Swami Chidbrahmanji left for Texas with his parents, and he will be back next week. His father is doing very well. I just saw him a few minutes ago. So I am substituting for him, and our usual topic continuing the same series, namely the sage of steady wisdom, Stita Prajna Lakshana. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna has described in many places the traits, qualities, behavior, and response to life, response to the challenge of life, of those small number of people who have been successful in their spiritual quest and have reached the goal of lofty goal of supreme self-knowledge. They are at all times established in the constant awareness that they are the supreme self, none other than the divine being. The same divine being is present in all of us, not only human beings, animals, plants, things, and inanimate objects, whole of nature is pervaded by the same being. But a few people, by dint of their lifelong spiritual practice, have been able to experience and realize and experience the divine presence within them. They are always established in constant communion with the divine within. For the rest of us, it is the goal to be achieved. So we're all striving for the same goal, each in his or her own way, in our own feeble ways. We're all striving for the same goal. But here, in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has described in many places in this scripture the qualities of those people. How can we recognize those few realized people and how can we benefit from them, how can we emulate them, and how can we also reach that lofty goal. In the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, last part of the Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, verses 55 onwards to the end of the chapter, verse 72, this is the major topic, the main topic, the description of the qualities of a sthita prajna. Prajna means consciousness or awareness. Sthita means fixed. One whose awareness is firmly fixed in the self within, in the divine within. Such a person's qualities are being described. One of the reasons of this description, purpose of this description, a list of detailed qualities of such a person, is to motivate all of us who are seeking that experience and to provide us some guidelines. We can practice those virtues which those people have with conscious effort, with diligent effort, with the eventual goal of reaching that same experience ourselves. That is the purpose of this description, besides being able to recognize such a person. So last time we were studying the verse number 56, which deals with the quality of equanimity under all circumstances. In these verses, 55 to 72, in the second chapter, although many qualities of such a person are described, the two things that stand out prominently. One of them is equanimity, maintaining equipoise, calmness, under all circumstances, no matter what life brings, good or bad, pain or pleasure, gain or loss, fame or infamy, whatever life brings. Such people have the ability to remain unperturbed. That's a very important quality that all of us should strive, aspire to have. When any problem comes, we should not be disturbed, and we should be able to remain calm and deal with the problem calmly, creatively, and with calmness of mind, with calmness and creativity. If we become too much upset, bitter, angry, start blaming other people and reacting in improper ways to the vicissitudes of life, we will make the situation much worse. And such a negative reaction to the problems of life will take away from us our ability to think calmly and clearly and react to the situation creatively. So this quality of equanimity has come in many places in the Gita, in chapter 5, 6 and 12 other places. But here in verse number 56, this quality of equanimity under all circumstances has been described. The verse is, verse 56 is, Dukheshvana dvignamanaha sukheshu vigatas prahaha vitaraga bhayakrodhaha sthitadhir muniruchyate. We were studying this verse last time. When adversity comes, dukheshu, anudvignamanaha, a person who has realized the self remains calm, unperturbed. Udvega means disturbance in the mind. Angry, anger, bitterness, etc. Without those disturbances, the person retains calmness of the mind, no matter what the nature and magnitude of the problem be. Sukheshu vigatas praha. when good things happen, happiness comes, success comes, then also this person remains calm. Sometimes we don't react properly when good things happen. We can become arrogant and proud and take all the credit, and that's not a good way to react when good things happen. Then also we should remain calm. Too much exaltation and pride and arrogance in success is not good. Sukheshu, even when good things happen, when happiness prevails, vigata sprahaha, such a person remains calm, free from greed. Vitaragamaya krodaha, such a person has conquered the three common afflictions that we all are prone to. Raga, bhaya, krodha. Raga means attachment. Attachment to everything. Attachment to people. Attachment to property, possessions. Attachment to one's own work and profession. Attachment to people in their lives. We become attached to everything. That tendency to become attached should be controlled. Attachment will cause misery in the end. Raga means attachment. This topic of attachment leading to desire and consequences will come again for more detailed study in the next few verses, notably in verses 62 and 63 in this chapter, second chapter. Those two verses had to be highlighted, verses 62-63 in second chapter. There, very succinctly and very clearly, Bhagavan Sri Krishna has succinctly captured the entire psychology of desire and consequences. There we can study how desire arises in our mind. What is the source? And what happens when desire comes? All those things, the train of events. If we don't handle desire properly, we will meet with more problems. We'll study that in great detail when we come to verses 62-63. Here, it is again mentioned as raga. Raga means attachment leading to desire. Bhaya means fear. Nobody is free from fear, though they may, many people say that I have no fear at all. In my whole life, I come across only two people who are entirely, 100%, totally, completely free from fear of all kinds. I talk to them. One of them was, many of you who have been here a long time may have seen, may remember, Ranjit Maharaj. Before the center started, we used to invite some swamis, and this, he was not a swami. He was a single person living in Bombay in India. I went to his place. I was very impressed by his personality. That person had no fear at all. He was in his 80s already at that time when I met him. He's no longer there. He passed away. And I asked him, "Sir, don't you have any fear?" He said, "No way to be afraid. Whatever is going to happen will happen. No fear." Then he explained to me, "I want you to know more about fearlessness. Like most people, I also have a lot of fears." So I asked him about how is it possible to remain fearless under all circumstances. He said, "Yes, it is possible, and you too can achieve it. Everybody can achieve it." Then he gave me an instance of how fearless he could be. He was once. He used to live in a very small room in Bombay, you know, property housing is very, not very good. The housing situation is very bad because too many people and in a cramped area. He used to live in the fourth floor of a dilapidated old building You have to climb these stairs, creaky wooden old staircase. On either side is narrow hallway, there are rooms. In each room, one family is living, parents, couple of children. In each room. And they all have one common bathroom at the end of the hallway. And this person, Ranjit Maharaj, was living in one such room, small room. And in that room, his whole life. One small cot and one chair and a table. On the table, he had displayed a big photograph of his teacher, Siddharameshwar Maharaj. And when I went there, the 5-6 people were sitting on the floor. And there was a small stove in which the devotees would prepare tea for him and for themselves, for anybody who visited. And that is all in that room. So I went and bowed down to him. I had seen him once before in his first visit. He came here twice. So he made me sit down with great affection, welcomed me, then conversation. In one of those meetings, he came here and gave talks in different places. He mentioned this one to me. When he was walking in a very crowded area, Gurgaon in Bombay, there was no motor car, nothing. You had to walk or take bus. He was walking in a very crowded area in Bombay, Mumbai. The traffic is very chaotic in India, as some of you know, many of you know. Nobody follows the rules. Very, very chaotic traffic. A car came and knocked him down. And he fell down. And the driver applied the brake, fortunately, just in time. And Ranjit Maharaj is laying down on the floor, all cuts and bruises all over the body. And the front tire of the car just stopped touching his neck. He's lying on the floor. If it had moved a quarter of an inch forward, he would have been crushed to death right there. Then at that time, he explained this to me. Then all the people, you know how things happen. So many people gathered together, big crowd, big noise and argument and call the police, this and that. This gentleman calmly got up and brushed the dust off his clothes, started walking away. Everybody told him, you should call police, you should take him to court, police. It's okay. Like that. And I asked him, at that moment, when you were lying almost under the tire, if the car had moved half an inch forward, you would not be there. What were your feelings? I asked him. I was very free with him. He said, I was completely calm. Like that, I met another person who was like that, Swami of the Ramakrishna Order, Swami Atmananda. Many of you may know. You probably know Swami Atmananda. He was one such fearless person. I asked him the same question. Maharaj, how did you become free from fear? He didn't explain. He just simply laughed. I got to know him very well. So there are a few people. Bhaya means fear. In the Upanishad, the topic of fear has been addressed. Not in much detail, but in an abbreviated version. We all have fear. That's why this topic is important. How to overcome fear. All kinds of fear. You don't have to explain different kinds of fear. There in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the Rishi says why fear comes in the first place. Why should you be afraid of anything? Fear of becoming sick, fear of old age, fear of suffering, fear of poverty, fear of losing the job, fear of losing somebody dear to us. So many kinds of fear. A person of self-knowledge is totally free from fear. Vita raga bhaya krodha. Vita means only has conquered fear. Now, we should analyze why fear comes in the first place. Why are we afraid? If you think about it calmly, fear always comes. Fear means you are afraid that we may lose something we have, some loss or pain, something will come, unpleasant experience will come. We may die, fear of death. Fear comes as long as we perceive the second. This is very important. Why fear comes? It's not explained in detail in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. There is a very short sentence with only four words. There he says, Dvitiya dvai bhayam bhavati. Bhayam bhavati, fear comes. From where? Dvitiya, from the second. Dvitiya means second. From the second fear comes. What is the second? Second is anything other than the Atman, the Self, the Divine Presence within us. That's the only thing. The Divine Presence within us, which we call Atman in the Upanishads, in Vedanta, or God in us, that is the only thing, reality. Everything else is an added-on adjunct. They come and go. They are not permanent. They are not intrinsic to us. They are not the body, mind, sense organs, property, possessions, family, children, husband, wife, spouse, position, power, fame, youth, beauty. All these things are not intrinsic. The only thing intrinsic means always our true nature, which cannot be lost, which does not diminish, is always permanent, that which we truly are. That's the only permanent thing. All other things are added on things. They are with us for some time, then they go away. And when they are with us, they keep changing constantly, every moment. Including our own body, including our own mind. Our ideas, our thoughts, our property, our possessions, our children, our job, our family. All these things are added on adjuncts. We keep on adding them because we hope happiness will come from them. The moment we have one of those things, that moment we become prone to the fear of loss. If I have something, I'm the fear of losing it. Whatever it is that I have, whatever I have, I'm afraid of losing it. One kind of fear. Second kind of fear is, whatever I have may cause me pain. The very same thing that brings me a lot of happiness and peace at one time, the very same person, object, or situation may bring a lot of pain at a later moment in time. This we know from our experience. We don't have to explain. Whatever brings us happiness and pleasure and joy at one point in time, the very same thing, be it a person or a situation or a property or object or whatever, the very same thing can cause a lot of pain to us at a later time. There's nothing fixed about it. And we are afraid that it may cause pain. And if it is causing pleasure, we are afraid that it may be lost, that may end. Even when things are going well, we are afraid that some disturbance may come, something may be lost. Fear of loss is there, even if everything is all right. Some situation may change, that fear is there. That means anything outside of the self, other than the self, other than our divine nature, could be a cause of fear. That's why the Upanishad says, Dvitiya dvai bhayam bhavati. The moment you are attached to something other than the self, Atman, that moment you become prone to fear of some sort. So what's the solution then? If you want to become totally, completely, permanently free from all kinds of fear, we should remain anchored in our divine self and not be attached to outside property, possessions, people, relationships, success, etc. They all come and go. What gives happiness can also give pain at some other time. So the Upanishad says, the moment you have the second, dvitiyad, bhayam bhavati, fear comes. Solution is not to do away with these things. We cannot. We need these things. Body is there. People are there in our lives. We can't all send them all away. Property is there. House is there. Money is there. Children are there. We can't give up all of those things and go away. Wherever you go, some things will be there. Even if you go to a forest and live in a hut, that hut will be there. It may be lost. Some ghost may come, or some other wild animal may come in the forest. All kinds of, wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you have, fear will be there. The only solution, the only complete permanent solution to all kinds of fear is to experience our divine nature and know that all these other things which can cause fear and pain and loss are temporary. They have no power to make us happy or unhappy. We gather all these things because we hope they will bring us happiness. But if you analyze, there is no true happiness in anything outside of this self. Happiness is in the matter. Happiness is in the spirit, Swamiji said. The sources where we look for happiness, they are not the real sources. They appear to bring some happiness at some time, but they are not the cause of happiness. They are not the source of happiness. Happiness is all within. Any kind of happiness we experience, for example, the joy that you get when you hold your child or grandchild close to you, very joyful experience. The joy when you get when your child goes to succeeds and gets PhD from MIT or gets admission to Stanford. All those kinds of joy. The joy when you get promotion, become the president, or CEO of a company. All these things, they are not real happiness. They're all merely reflecting surfaces that at best can provide a highly distorted, highly diminished version of the joy emanating from the self. Atmananda. That's the only source of joy, the self within. A Chittapragna, a realized person, knows this. So such a person does not depend upon anything outside of oneself for happiness, goes, bypasses these undependable reflecting surfaces, and goes straight to the source of joy and enjoys communion with the self within. That's the only source of happiness. The moment we depend upon other things, acquire other things, be it a relationship or a family or a job or a position or money or power or body or anything, youth or beauty, they can cause pain and they can give pleasure. And they are not permanent. They go away. So solution to overcoming all fear permanently, totally, is to realize the self, become a Chittapragna ourselves. Vitaraga Bhayakrodha, a person who has realized the self, knows that he is the divine. He is not the body and the mind. Such a person is totally, permanently free from fear of all kinds. That's the ultimate solution. In the meantime, we can take remedial measures, band-aid measures, how to become freer. So many things that I am not the best person. You can take preventive measures, as we saw the last time. To prevent certain kinds of difficulties, we can take some preventive measures like buying insurance, health insurance, property insurance, home insurance, etc. To prevent ill health, we can take follow the rules of health, good food, etc. Rest and sleep, exercise, all those things are all preventive measures. We can save some money for unforeseen expenses, etc. After taking all the preventive measures that we can, problems may still come. We may have all the insurance, but we may become sick. When that happens, after taking all the preventive measures, when the problem really arises, we should take remedial measures. What can we do to remedy the situation? Remedial measures. When you become sick, you go to your physician. Like that. When the plumbing is needed, you call the plumber, etc. Remedial measures. After taking all the preventive measures and remedial measures, some problems may still remain. Then we have to practice the third thing, which we did last time, practice forbearance, titiksha, fortitude. Our scriptures pay much importance to the practice of the discipline of forbearance. Fortitude, titiksha. Whatever problem cannot be solved, has to be endured. How? Calmly and without complaining and without lamenting. Then if you studied Viveka Chudamani with Swamiji's, there Shankara described the discipline of fortitude in this way. Forbearance. Whatever problem remains, after taking preventive and remedial measures, we have to simply bear it calmly, without complaining, without lamenting. That we have to practice. That discipline is called titiksha or forbearance. If we react negatively, become angry, jealous and bitter and yell and scream, the problem will only become worse. It won't be solved. So you have to remain calm in adversity. So Shankara says, sahanam sarva dukkhanam apratikara purvakam chinta vilaparahitam satitiksha nigadyate. Titiksha means, forbearance means, sarva dukkhanam sahanam, bearing all, patiently bearing all difficulties, all adversity of whatever kind. How? Apritikara purvakam, without resorting to vengeance, avenging, vengeance, without retaliating. Somebody caused me this problem, I'm going to cause 10 times the problem to him. That won't help. It'll make the problem worse, much worse. Second thing is chinta rahitam, without brooding. There's no use brooding about what happened in the past. We can't change the past. There's no brooding about what is going to happen in the future, what may happen in the future. That's useless. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. And brooding about it will not help in any way. That is second, without brooding. Chinta rahitam. Third thing is vilapa rahitam. Vilapa means lamentation. Telling everybody of all our problems, all they have to tell you, ask you, hi, how are you doing? Then you start the litany of problems. This happened, this happening, that's happening. That's not going to help. Constantly dwelling on the difficulties, recalling, recounting the difficulties with everybody is going to be counterproductive. It's not going to help. But it is also good sometimes to speak to one or two close people, well-wishers, friends, unburden oneself, explain the problem. They may help. That is also necessary. That discipline of bearing all difficulties, after taking preventive remedial measures, calmly, without lamenting, without complaining, such a discipline is called titiksha, and this is the prajna has that quality of titiksha. Titiksha means forbearance. Great mahatmas, great souls also have gone through much difficulty in their life. They have suffered from infamy, people blame them unjustly, they also become sick. But that does not disturb them, they remain calm. That discipline has to be practiced. Vitaraga, attachment, fear, bhaya. Third thing is krodha. Krodha means anger. This also will come in verse 63. For more detailed discussion, krodha means anger. Anger is a great enemy. Anger is a great enemy. It can rob us of our sanity. When a person is angry, that person cannot think calmly. For a moment, that person loses his ability to think calmly and acts irrationally in ways that he may repent later when the anger passes away. When a person becomes angry, that person, for the time being, loses the ability to think calmly. What should I say? What should I not say? What should I do? What I should not do? That ability will be lost when a person is in a fit of anger. You cannot think rationally when you are angry. A person can become temporarily insane. Defense lawyers always give temporary insanity in defense of their clients. That is true. When a person becomes angry, he will lose the ability to think calmly. You should not allow that to happen. Krodha. Krodha can kill. take us to great difficulties. So that has to be controlled. Krodha has to be controlled. We will come back to the topic of anger again in a later meeting. These three qualities described in verse 56. Vitaragabaya krodha. A person of steady wisdom has conquered attachment, fear, and anger. In the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, verse 21, Sri Krishna describes the dangerous effects of lust, anger, and greed. And greed. Greed is also very bad. Lobha. Some years ago, there was a Sunday talk here. And the title of the talk was, How Much Land a Man Needs. This is not my title. It was title of Leo Tolstoy, who wrote a Shastri with the same title. I just used the same title. In my high school textbook, 60-some years ago, there was a story, short story, written by Leo Tolstoy. Everything else I studied in high school is completely forgotten, but that story is sticking in my mind. That story is very interesting. If you get a chance, please read it. The title of the story is How Much Land a Man Needs, written by Leo Tolstoy. Story of greed. A farmer had greed for land, more land. As he got more land, he became greedy for more land. As he got more land, he got greedy for more land. He would not stop. He didn't know when to stop. This is enough. I don't need any more. That never happened. Eventually, he died in that effort to get more land. Very moving story. In this month's Vedanta Kesari, there is a short one-page editorial, a couple of pages editorial called How Much is Too Much? Vedanta Kesari, recent issue. The editorial is called How Much is Too Much? The same that Swami, editorial Swami has, editor Swami has recounted this Tolstoy story. Greed can kill. So these are the three great enemies of human beings. Kama, Krodha, Lobha. So in 16th chapter, verse 21, Sri Krishna says, these three things have to be given up. It's not easy, but we have to give these three things. Lust, anger, and greed. Because these lead us to a place of suffering. The verse is, Trividam narakas yedam dwaram nashanam atmanah kamaha krodaha tatalobas tasmade tatrayam tyajet. Yatatrayam, these three things, lust, anger, and greed, kama, krodha, lobha, have to be given up. Tyajet. Why? Because each one of them can lead us to great suffering. Narakas trividham dwaram. Narakam is hell, place of suffering. Three great big gateways are there. There's traffic jam in those big gateways. The gateways to heaven, not much traffic there. These three gateways are kama, krodha, lobha. Uncontrolled anger, unrighteous anger, adharmic anger, jealousy, anger, and lust, and greed. Anger, lust, and greed. So the Sita Prajna, person of steady wisdom, has conquered all those things. Has conquered all those things. Before we leave this verse, I want to mention, come back to the topic of equanimity in good and bad circumstances. When something good happens, we become proud, anger, exalted and everything, arrogant and everything, don't know how to react to good circumstances, how to celebrate happiness, we don't know. People celebrate happiness in destructive ways. You can see this in soccer sports fans and football sports fans. When their team wins, the fans become so angry that they go and destroy and beat up the opponents and empire. And there have been instances when the opposing coach has been killed by soccer fans of the defeating team. over and when their team succeeds, they become so happy that they don't know how to celebrate it nicely. It happened here in Maryland a few years ago. Their team won, I don't know, basketball team or football team, I forget, their team won, and the fans became so happy, they don't know how to celebrate that happiness. They went on a rampage, overturned cars and got drunk and threw stones and destroyed property and got arrested and all this happiness. So we should know how to remain calm, not only in adverse circumstances, but also in happiness. That quality of equanimity in pain and pleasure is exemplified in the life of Sri Ramachandra Swami. Last night, we had Ram Nam chanting once a month, and the first Saturday we have Ram Nam chanting at 7:30. Then if you can come, chanting of the 108 names of Rama, glories of Rama, and the devotional songs. There, it is said that Sri Ramachandra, Rama, had this quality of total equanimity under all circumstances, whatever life brings. Nothing would disturb that person. Always remain calm. Now, when there is a verse that we chanted last night describing this quality of equanimity in Lord Sri Rama. That verse is like this. I don't know how to chant properly, but I will. Prasannatam jnana gata abhishekatah tatha namam lau vanavasa dukkhatah mukhambuja shri raghunandanasya me sadastu sa manjula mangala prada. Manjula mangala shri mukhambuja shri, the lotus feet of Sri Ramachandra. When he heard the news that he was going to be coronated as the king, Dasharatha, his father, had decided to make Rama the king. Dasharatha, with his wife, as was the custom those days, were going to repair to the forest for Vanaprastha Ashrama. That was what kings used to do. That moment came. Sri Rama, being the eldest son of Dasharatha, he was going to be made the king. He had three younger brothers, Lakshmana, Bharata, Shatrughna. And everybody was happy because Rama was the most popular person in the kingdom. Rama was also happy. When the news came that he was going to be made the king next day, preparations were happening for the coronation ceremony, installing him on the throne as the king. When that news came, prasannatam gataya gata abhishekatah. Abhisheka means coronation ceremony. Then Rama did not react in a very exalted mood. He accepted it calmly. I'm going to be king from tomorrow. It didn't make him proud or anything. He said calmly, remain calm. All right, I'll be the king. It's a great responsibility to rule the kingdom in place of my father. I will try to do my best as the king. He remained calm when the good news came. Great good news, not ordinary good news. Abhishekatam. Tathana manlo vanavasa dukkhatam. Next moment, as you know, Ramayana's story, Kaikeyi, the third wife of Dasharatha, he wanted her son Bharata to be made the king. Not only that, she insisted that Rama, the older brother, has to go to the forest for 14 years. Vanavasa dukkha. Vanavasa means life in the forest. Dukkha means it is not easy to live in the forest. So many dangers are lurking there in the forest. Wild animals, no place to stay, no proper food arrangement, nothing, no facilities, no tap water, no water, nothing. Live in the forest with animals and trees and everything. For 14 years, not for a day or two. When that news came, the very next moment, his face, lotus face, did not fade. Vanavasa dukkataha namam le. His face remained calm. The same calmness he displayed when he heard that he was going to be the king, Next day, the same calmness he displayed in his face when he heard the news that he has to go to the forest for 14 years. Nothing fazed him. Extreme good, becoming the king. What can be better than that? An extreme bad, going to the forest for 14 years, what can be worse than that? Though this extreme happened in the course of one day, see, Ramachandra did not show any great emotion of sadness or anger. He did not say, why I should go to the forest? I am the older son, elder son, I should get the kingdom. No argument. Okay, I'll go to the forest. He told his father, Father, you want me to go to the forest? Because Kaikeyi, stepmother, insisted, I'll go to the forest. No problem. You want me to take the kingdom? You take over the kingdom? I can take over, I'll do my best. Thank you. Thank you for this, thank you for that. That kind of equanimity, under extreme circumstances, from the highest good to the worst thing that can happen, he remained absolutely calm. Mukhamujasri means the lotus face of Sri Ramachandra never showed any sadness when he heard that he had to go to the forest. May that lotus face of Sri Ramachandra protect us all. That's the prayer we chanted last night. That is a supreme example of equanimity under all circumstances. Extreme good news, and the next moment, extreme bad news. That person could take both of them calmly. That much inner strength was there. Small things upset us very much in our lives. But he remained calm. That is the example of equanimity. Raga, Bhaya, Krodha, attachment, fear and anger. When can we be totally free from these three things? Completely, permanently free. Not temporary measure, not temporary freedom. That we can see in the scriptures. Notably, in the Chandogya Upanishad, we talked about it sometime earlier. There is an instance when the great sage Narada himself became restless. If ordinary people like you and me become restless, disturbed, unhappy, sad, that is understandable. But Narada Maharshi, the greatest sage, he became restless and he did not know what to do. He had all the knowledge, he had mastered all branches of knowledge, from astronomy to zoology and everything, including in between. But still he had no peace of mind. Then he goes to the sage Sanat Kumara, and Narada explains his predicament. Sir, I don't have peace of mind. I know all the shastras, the scriptures, all the Vedas and Puranas and Mahabharata, Ramayana, epics and everything, logic, grammar, astronomy, everything I know, but he don't have peace of mind. And he also knows why he does not have peace of mind, in spite of all this knowledge that he had. Narada says to his teacher, Sanat Kumara, I have heard from great teachers like you that a person can become totally free from sorrow and all afflictions only when he knows the self, when he realizes the self. All other accomplishments cannot bring that peace and joy. Srutami Bhagavad Drishebhyaha Tarati Shokam Atmaviditi, Narada says. Who crosses the ocean of grief? Atmavit, one who knows the self, one who knows God. No matter what else a person knows, has accomplished, that person cannot get permanent peace, lasting peace, complete peace. No amount of knowledge of scriptures and other sciences and arts and humanities will bring that peace. So he says, I have heard from great teachers like you, Narada says to Sanat Kumara. Srutami Bhagavad Drishebhyaha, from great teachers like you, I have heard, Tarati Shokam Atmavititi. Only a person who knows the Atman, he can cross over the ocean of sorrow and achieve permanent peace, lasting peace, unconditional peace. Please teach me the self. He said, that chapter in the Chandogya Upanishad is a very interesting chapter. Then, another verse in the Mundaka Upanishad says, when can we be totally free from all these afflictions? Lust, anger, greed, pride, jealousy, fear, all these things are afflicting us, giving us no peace of mind. When can we become free? There Upanishad says, only when you know the supreme reality, supreme truth. That famous verse in the Mundaka Upanishad, some of you studied with Swami Atmagyanji, that Upanishad here, that says, when you realize, only when you realize the ultimate self, realization, when you know God, only then can you be free from all limitations, all afflictions, all sorrow, all suffering. Very interesting verse. Bhidyate hridaya granthihi chidyante sarva samshayah kshiyante chasya karmani tasmin drishte paravare. When the supreme truth is known, transcendent immanent truth is known, when God is known, when the self is known, three things happen. What are they? Bhidyate hridaya granthi. All the knots of the heart are cut asunder. Knot means K-N-O-T, knot. All the things that bind us, limit us, afflict us, anger, jealousy, pride, etc., fear, etc. All of those things will go permanently only when we know the supreme truth. Second thing that happens at that stage is chedyante sarva samshayaha. Samshaya means doubt. All kinds of doubts linger in our minds. No matter how many books we study, how many lectures we listen to, doubts will remain. Could it be like this? Could it be like, could it be like that? Is it true? We hear this, so many Swamis are saying this, so many Upanishad books or scriptures are saying this. How can it be true? Can it be true? That doubt lingers. They may come less, but they will linger. Trace of doubt lingers. All doubts will be completely cleared. Total clarity will come only when we know the truth, ultimate truth. Third thing that happens is kshiyante chasya karmani. All bondages of karma will be dissolved permanently. Bondage of karma means we have desires. The desire propels us to action. We do action to fulfill the desire, to find happiness. That action brings the result of action. Karma brings karma phala, fruit of action. And the fruit of action does not give us peace, more desire will come. Or if it is not fulfilled, desire is not fulfilled, anger will come. One way or other, no, there is no peace. All karma bondage will be totally lost and total permanent peace will come when you know the ultimate truth. And I'll conclude it one more verse from the Bhagavad Gita. When can we become free from fear and all suffering permanently? Sri Krishna has answered that question in the sixth chapter, verse 22. He says, only when you achieve the ultimate goal of self-realization, God-realization, then can you be free permanently from all afflictions, all fear, all anger, all jealousy, all limitation. Total peace will come. Permanent peace will come. Unconditional peace will come. That verse is very important. 622. There Sri Krishna says, yam labdva cha param labham manyate nadikam tataha yasmin stito na dukhe na guru na api vichalyate. By gaining that self-knowledge, by gaining which, there is no other higher object to be gained. This is the highest goal to be gained. Once you achieve that one, there is nothing more to be gained. You are perfect, you are complete, you are infinite. Short of that, anything else we gain, no matter how high position we get in the corporation or government, become the president, sit in the Oval Office, that's only for 4 years, and the problems only that person knows who sits in the Oval Office. And no matter how high a position we get, how much wealth you accumulate, how good health we enjoy, how much good health we enjoy, popularity, fame, all this success we enjoy, no matter what all these things happen, they cannot bring us permanent lasting peace. There is always fear of loss, even if everything is going on well. By reaching which, yam labdhva aparam labham tatodikam na vidyate. There is no other goal to be achieved higher than that. Highest goal we can achieve from the human platform. Greater than any other success in any other field. We can, that is self-knowledge. Then what happens if we reach that goal? Yasmin stito, by remaining established in that self-knowledge, guru naapi dukkhena na vichalyate. Even if this severest calamity strikes us, the greatest difficulty can come. Even then, person remains unperturbed. Nothing perturbs that person. One who is established in self-awareness, self-consciousness, one who has become a sita prajna, such a person, no matter what kind of difficulties will come, any kind of difficulty, surest kind of difficulty may come, that person remains totally unaffected. That calmness, unperturbable calmness, peace and stability will come only when we reach the highest goal of realization. So kama, raga, bhaya, krodha, those three things. Now next time when we get an opportunity, we go to the next verse, 57th verse, which also deals with the topic of equanimity. Same topic, equanimity. When praise comes, we should not become proud. When success comes, we should not become proud. When failure comes, we should not become depressed. How to remain calm? That we will study next time. Now let us reflect for a couple of minutes. Already taken more time. Let us reflect for a couple of minutes.